Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled Reformation Sunday, first preached on October 29th, 2017. Please enjoy this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
Reformation Day is October 31st each year, and this year it is the 500th anniversary, and so churches all around the world are making a thing of this. They are reviewing and preaching on the truths that Martin Luther brought back to light as he broke from the Catholic Church. They are singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is a song written by Martin Luther. And if we look at how we got to where we are today and why Martin Luther did what he did, we need to have a bit of history. And in this history, we can understand the problems that occurred back then, and we can look at our own church and say, are we going down that road? Are we adding extra baggage? Are we adding extra weight on the body of Christ, or are we keeping it simple and straightforward? Martin Luther was born on November 10th, 1483, and he realized very early that there was a God, and he wanted a relationship with that God, and so he became an Augustinian monk. Fortunately for us, the Augustinian order were Bible scholars. He would spend 10, 15, 20 hours a day studying, reading, commenting on the various truths that were in Scripture, just the Bible and him in a room. And he was in the study of the book of Romans when the practice of indulgences started in the Catholic Church. One of the difficulties with the Catholic Church at that time is that after the Roman Empire fell in the 400s, there was a vacuum of world leadership, and there has never been a world emperor since the Roman Emperor fell. And Europe at that time went through some difficult times. There were civil wars, there were skirmishes, and then there was the bubonic plague. And then people who study climates say that during that time, around 800 or 900, there was a small ice age where areas of Europe actually got colder and snow came on the ground and lasted longer. And so the population of Europe really shrunk, and that gave an opportunity for the Roman Catholic Church to build monasteries and to become the teaching arm of the world at that point. And monks would stay studying and copying Scripture in these towers while the rest of Europe was dying around them. And then the weather improved and life expectancies improved, and the Renaissance happened and the printing press happened, and Europe blossomed in its teaching. But during that time, the Roman Catholic Church had become the de facto world government that anybody at that time who wanted to do something or create a trade route or appoint a new king or something like that, they would need the blessings of the cardinals and the bishops and even the Pope. And the Catholic Church had created something during this time called the Holy Roman Empire, and you may have heard of that in history. And it was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire, but they were trying to take their church and make it into a political empire. And popes at that time were rather ruthless and forming an army that they still have called the Swiss Guard in the Vatican. And they wanted a bigger thing in the Vatican. And so they took the teaching of purgatory, which came into being around 1160. And purgatory is the idea that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and if you accept him, all your sins are forgiven. But then if you go off the deep end and you sin a lot more after you're saved, somebody has to pay for those sins. The Catholic Church would say, well, that's purgatory. So when you die, you go into this place of torture to burn off your sin. to have you pay for this extra sin that you did after you were saved. And during the time of Martin Luther, they decided to charge money to get people out of purgatory. It became a money-making organization, and those were called indulgences. So you gave $10, $20, $200 to the Catholic Church. And they would say that that would reduce the time of your loved one in purgatory by 100 years or so. On average, they would say, people would spend 2,000 to 3,000 years in purgatory because of our sin. And then when you're done with purgatory, you go to heaven, all clean and forgiven. Martin Luther saw that, and he's reading through the book of Romans, daily reading the book of Romans, and he's taking these doctrines of the church, and he says, they don't match. And his response was to write 95 challenges called the 95 Theses on a big old piece of paper and nail it to the door of the Wittenberg Church, Castle Church, that is in Germany. And that was his way of creating a debate with the cardinals and the bishops, kind of the monks against the bishops at that point. But the Catholic Church took it as a great offense. And this caused a schism in the church, and some people became Protestants. They protested against this action of the Catholic Church. And others just dug their heels in and became more and more Catholic. And out of that move on October 31st, 1517, the Protestant Reformation started. And we are Baptist. Baptist is a Protestant denomination. We are protesting we don't believe in purgatory. Purgatory is not real. We don't believe in indulgences. And what Martin Luther found during that time is that the political opposition to him is that they saw, the Pope and such, saw him as a political opponent. And so they tried to kill him. They sought after his life. And fortunately, God sent somebody called Frederick the Great. Frederick the Great had something that very few people at that point had. He had a castle and an army. And so he was able to protect Martin Luther, cloistered away in his castle, and he had the armaments that when the army of the Catholic Church came against him, he was able to keep Martin Luther safe until Martin Luther died of a ripe old age. And Martin Luther's primary push, his primary idea, was that we have a Bible. His Bible at that time was in Latin. That's what the church used in the 1500s, a Latin Bible. During his life, he was able to translate it into German for the common German people, since he was German. Today we have Bibles in pretty much every known language. But we look at this and we say, this is it. This is the Word of God. And if I were to go down the street to St. John's, the Catholic Church nearest to us, and say, what is this book? They would say it is the inerrant Word of God. I would say it is the inerrant Word of God. I would say, does this Bible tell me how to get saved? They would say yes, and I would say yes. I would say, can you get saved through Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross? They would say yes, I would say yes. I would say, is that the only way to get saved? Through Jesus Christ and His blood? They would say yes, I would say yes. At that point, we are brothers in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are saved people in every Catholic church in the world. That's why this is called a reformation and not a replacement. Martin Luther did not want to destroy the Catholic Church. He wanted to fix it, because when I'm done speaking with the pastor, I would get all my answers correctly from him about the Bible, and I would be done. But then he would say, oh, but in addition to the Bible, we have these things called magisterium, or traditions of the church. We have things that have been written by scholars and cardinals and bishops over the last 1500 years at that point about how to believe things and how to do things, and and what justification means and how sanctification works, all this building out of the faith. And he would say that is as authoritative as the Bible. So they would say Bible and church tradition are equal. We would not say that. We would say the authority of God ends at the Bible. That if it's not in here, we got to question what's going on. We got to find it in here and understand it from here to know what to do as a church. The other thing they do is there's a pope, and the pope can speak for God. And fortunately for this illustration, Pope Francis has not let us down. First week of October, he got up and he said, God has told him that all death penalties in every country, in every case, is a sin and is a human right violation. And so what he did, that was all scribbled down by the cardinals, and what he did at that point is, if I have a question about the death penalty, and the last time we had a big vote in California, there was actually two things on the ballot about California's death penalty. Instead of going to the Bible and figuring out what God says in this situation, I don't have to anymore. I have the authority of the Pope saying all death penalty is evil. I just vote no and no, or yes, yes, whatever I have to vote to get rid of it, because his words and church tradition are equal in authority to Scripture. And so Martin Luther and the other reformers says what that did is it added layers of baggage on the Christian faith. If you ask me how to be saved, I would tell you about the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin, and how you need to believe in Him. You need to accept His sacrifice into your life. You need to repent of your sin of unbelief and believe, and God will give you the Holy Spirit, and He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then that's all well and good. Now, if I come to you the next day and I say, and you got to stand on one foot for 2 minutes every day. You just got to do that, and that'll make God happy. Okay? You're thinking, well, okay, I know I'm saved, but I want to make God happy. So you stand on one foot every day for 2 minutes, and then when you meet God, at the end of your life, He's probably going to ask you, why were you standing on one foot? All we had was Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. Standing on your foot doesn't save. But if I say that, some people will reverse it and say, oh, the standing on your foot is what saves. Jesus Christ is the add-on. And that is what has happened through history of the Catholic Church, is their traditions and Pope speaking have been the bigger authority. People have put their Bibles away and said, what does church tradition say? And that there are people today who believe you are saved by attending a Catholic church. But there are also people who believe you are saved by attending a Baptist church. Because as we have reformed and protested 500 years, now many Protestant churches are getting legalistic and looking into church history and church tradition and trying to add baggage onto their people that isn't supposed to be there. There is nothing other than Jesus Christ. There is no baggage. Any baggage you had when you came to Him, He took it and put it on the cross. We are freed when we are put on the cross. And so we need to present the gospel simply and straightforward. As I said in Bible study, and I've talked to other people, we need to know the gospel and be able to recite it in about 30 seconds, just the gospel. You can add your testimony, which isn't more than 2 minutes. We need to be short and to the point. And when anybody talks about, well, doesn't this work? Doesn't a sacrament? Doesn't confession, doesn't church attendance add anything? We have to say absolutely not. They're good ideas. God wants you to go to church. God wants you to be with the people of God. but it doesn't save you. It doesn't cause him to love you more than he did. It doesn't cause him to save you more than you're saved. And that's why Martin Luther would say, Scripture alone is our guide. Scripture alone is our rule for faith and practice. He also said, grace alone and faith alone. He found in the pages of Scripture that we get saved not by works, says that clearly in Romans 3, but through belief, through faith. I am presented with the data, the information, the story of Jesus Christ. I accept it, I believe it, I want it. I pray through it, and boom, I'm saved. I did no work. I did not break a sweat. All the work is done by Jesus Christ. I am saved by grace. It is a gift. It comes from God. I cannot buy it. I cannot earn it. It is a gift that God chooses to give. And by faith, I believe in that gift, and I am saved. Martin Luther also said, Christ alone, not Christ and the church, not Christ and this other book, not Christ and a certain song we sing, not Christ and anything else you can say. It is Christ only. And if anybody asks me, how am I saved? I will say, through the blood of Jesus Christ alone, the blood of Jesus Christ only. Everybody who's in heaven that you will meet, all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs, you ask any of them, how can they be there living so long ago? And even Abraham will say at that point, because now he's been educated, he will say, I am here by the blood of Christ that is transferred. Basically, he was held in account, we believe, for that 1,500, 2,000 years until Christ's blood became available. But it is Christ only. It is all about Christ. We are Christians, Christians. We have a cross up here. It is all about Christ and his work on the cross. And so this isn't Catholic bashing. It isn't to say everything that's wrong with other churches. It is to know the history of how we got here and why Martin Luther did what he did and why God allowed him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to see in the Bible that they were off track. And as we look at the churches of America, as we look at the teachings that are going on, I know a pastor that is going to poverty-stricken Uganda to work with orphans. And while he is there, he will hear on the radio blatant and obvious prosperity theology of saying the only thing God wants in your life is for you to be rich. Salvation, meaningless. Big bank account, that's what it's all about. And it's fascinating to me that in one of the poorest sections of the world, that is the heretical teaching that has taken hold. They need the Bible and only the Bible. They need Jesus and only Jesus. And that through that they can get salvation. And once you're saved, then God can begin to work on your life. And so finally, Luther would say that only God gets the glory. The church does not get the glory. The Pope does not get the glory. The cardinals, the traditions, the extra writings, none of those get any glory. And we would say, this church does not get the glory. We like it, but we don't worship it. I don't get the glory. I proclaim the Word of God to point you to Christ, and hopefully you'll get to Christ over what I'm saying. But he gets all the glory. God gets all the glory because he did all the work. He did all the heavy lifting. He went to the cross. You did not go to the cross. I did not go to the cross. This church did not go to the cross. Jesus Christ did. And because he is the only way to salvation, he gets all the glory. And when we talk about what happened to him after he ascended, it says he sat at the right hand of God, and he has been interceding, he has been praying for each of you individually, specifically, for the last 2,000 years. He's also put the Holy Spirit inside you, who is praying for you because we don't pray as we ought, according to James. And so you have two of the three of the Trinity, two-thirds of the Trinity, if you will, praying for you, moving you along, sanctifying you, bringing you before God the Father every moment of every day. Nobody on earth is doing anything close to that. God gets all the glory forever and ever, and in heaven, He will eternally get all the glory of all who are there. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, to You be the glory. We praise You for raising up great men of old 500 years ago who saw the truth, who saw how the extra baggage, how the corruption, how the politics of the church was ruining things, that it was simply Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and You get all the glory alone. Lord, we praise You for that. We ask Your blessing upon this time and this day, knowing that as we go from here, You are going with us, and that church does not end at 12 o'clock, but continues the rest of the week until we meet again. Lord, we praise You for that. And ask Your blessing upon this time. We ask all of this through the eternal and holy blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.